This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, today has brought very, very bad news indeed on the COVID pandemic. A new variant of this virus has been discovered in South Africa. It's called the Botswana variant, B11529. It is said to be much more transmissible than the Delta variant. And according to British media, it may render the vaccines we're using 40% less effective. And at the moment, it's confined in terms of infections to Africa, but we're joined now by Professor Paul Moyna of Maynooth University Department of Biology and Human Health Research Institute to tell us, Paul, this is a very serious development. I suppose for someone with your expertise, it's not unexpected that there would have been a new variant, but this can only be bad news.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say, Eamon, is that, first of all, the surveillance systems has been very good in terms of picking up this variant. So
yes,
we know as the virus transmits, as it replicates, it's just a normal part of the biological process that there will be these mutations and we end up with these variants. In this case, there are two reasons that's causing some concern. It's important to say at this stage, Eamon, it's probably too early to say in terms of does it transmit better and does it evade the immunity that's and the protective immunity that's created by the vaccine. I'll explain that now, so why that is the case. So first of all, why is it of potential concern? Well, when you look at this SARS coronavirus 2, it's a very simple structure. It basically consists of like a bag containing 29 proteins. The one protein that's very important here is the spike protein.
Yes.
It's the protein that projects onto the surface of from the virus. And that's the protein that allows the virus to attach to our cells and infect our cells. This spike protein, it consists of these building blocks called amino acids. There's almost 1,300 of them. In this one, in this variant, there are 30 changes or 30 what we call mutations. If you look at some of the other variants, like the Delta variant, there's about between 10 and 15 mutations in that variant.
Right.
Now, if you look at the mutations in this variant, we've seen them in some of the other variants that have been associated with being better at infecting cells, evading some of the immunity. But there are more of these mutations, but it's also the combination. So we don't quite know at this stage in terms of what would be the effect of the combination of
yes.
these mutations. So that's the first thing in terms of it's got these mutations that would suggest that it may be more transmissible, maybe more efficient with respect to infecting cells, and may be able to evade some of the immunity that is generated by vaccination. The second reason why there's some concern is that in those regions of South Africa where it's been detected, and so far it's been detected, I think, in South Africa, some cases as well in Botswana and in Hong Kong, but in those places, certain provinces in South Africa, and it should be said this is coming from a low background, so at the moment they're growing in numbers, but it came from a low background. The proportion of those cases that can be attributed to this new variant is high, and it's increasing quite rapidly.
Yeah.
Now, what will happen, for example, if that were in an environment where there was already very high levels of the Delta variant, for example, in our own country, what would happen if that was in an environment where there was a high coverage of vaccination. Whereas it should be said in South Africa, Botswana, the coverage is not as good as, for example, we have. So the number of people, the percentage of people who would be fully vaccinated there would be sort of in the 20% region, whereas we're up at over 90% in terms of our adult population. So it remains to be seen. We will know more, I would say, in the next 1 to 2 weeks. So the type of experiments that can be done to actually assess if it has the potential to infect cells more, if it can evade some of the antibodies that we make in response to vaccines. So what you can do is you can take that strain, you can grow it in the laboratory, you can see, does it infect cells? Does it infect more efficiently than, for example, the Delta variant? And then we can also see, we could take blood from people who've been vaccinated and ask, does the blood and the antibodies stop the ability of the virus, that new variant, to infect cells? So these are experiments that we've done in the lab. They're actively actually going on, I would say, at the moment. So we should know more about this, Eamon, I would say, in the next 1 to 2 weeks in terms of the science, and actually have data to know for sure if this transmits better and if it can evade at least some aspect of immunity. And that's something perhaps we can chat about later. I think it's going to be very difficult for any variant to totally evade the protective response from the vaccine,
yes,
but it may evade some aspect of our immune response.
Now, it's estimated in Britain, where this story broke, that several hundred people a day, and that would mean thousands in 1 or 2 weeks, would travel from South Africa to the United Kingdom and, of course, to elsewhere in the world. And this is a problem, isn't it, with all infections, and particularly with the COVID infection, that by the time it's identified and located in South Africa, those people have traveled, and it's almost certain that this variant will now be seen and make people infect them and make them sick in Britain and elsewhere. So it's impossible, you would think, to contain it to where it originated.
Yeah, I think, Damon, that's a fair assessment. I'd agree with that, in the sense that by the time some of these variants, and we've seen with previous variants, by the time we actually detect them, and I should say the surveillance system has been really, really good.
Yes.
And these countries have been really fantastically good in terms of releasing this information, and probably at some cost now in terms of, for example, travel bans
course,
that would be implemented. But I think by the time these are recognized, I'd be very surprised if new cases will not be detected in other countries as well. I think I saw a case there this morning. A case was detected in Israel, I think a
yes,
traveler from
right.
Malawi. So I will be surprised if there aren't other cases. I think it's going to be very difficult, even with travel bans. If travel bans are implemented, and it looks like the European Union have advocated that, I think it's going to be very difficult, Eamon, to stop this. I think the best the travel bans will do is probably delay entry, maybe reduce some of the import, but it's going to be almost impossible, I think, to totally prevent entry of this to and probably our country eventually as well, depending on how well it transmits. If it turns out to be to outstrip the Delta variant in terms of being even better, then obviously, you know, we're going to be faced with a variant that transmits very, very efficiently.
Yes, and some scientists, just to give a more optimistic perspective on this, some scientists say it may not be as transmissible as the Delta variant. There is no unanimity among scientists at the moment about this new variant, and it has to be sort of factored in that sometimes media can inflate the dangers. Wasn't it always going to be the case, Paul, that because the first world, as it were, was getting access to the vaccine, and that the third world or poorer countries weren't, that there were highly likely to be variants such as this one arising?
Yeah, I think there's a big irony here, Eamon. So if you look at, and you correctly mentioned again, the problem in terms of lack of global equity with respect to access to
yes.
vaccines. So we're looking at low-income countries where vaccine coverage now is much, much, much lower than what we have. So some countries, for example, the countries that we've just spoken about in terms where some of these this variant has arisen, you know, we're looking at low 20s, maybe mid 20%. So in those environments where transmission is really, really high, that increases the probability of new variants
yes.
arising. in these cases now, when these variants have been detected, the information, the science is now out there in terms of, and the science is working to try to understand if this transmits better. But the immediate response then, for example, is to put travel bans in place. So these countries are going to suffer again.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of talk in terms of equity and that we can, roll out these mass booster programs and at the same time also ensure equity across the globe. But the reality is that's not happening on the ground. And we can see that now in low-income countries where, for example, if you look at the number of boosters that have been administered over the last couple of months in high-income countries, it outstrips the total number of vaccinations in low-income countries for the entire pandemic. So I think this is a major problem. I think we need to give more support to low-income countries. It is a global problem. And again, lip service is paid to that, but it is a global problem. It has to be treated as a global pandemic. And the solution or the mitigation of this pandemic, I think, can only be achieved by looking at it from the perspective of it being a global problem. And rather than just restricting ourselves and our focus to a more parochial interest. And obviously, you know, the government, the Irish government, has to look after Ireland, and that's its responsibility. But again, I think we need to look at this in a larger scale. And we also need to support these countries now, especially, and help, especially in terms of access and timely access to vaccines.
Yes. And I mean, this particular chain is only as strong as its weakest link. The other question here would be vaccine resistance in certain Eastern European countries, for example. Yep. That's a continuing issue. And of course, the unfairness, if you like, and the injustice, if you like, of consuming all the vaccine for ourselves in the first world and ignoring at our peril people in the poorer countries. There is a program called COVAX, Paul, was, as I understand it, about wealthy or countries, and Ireland would be in that category, donating to a program that would see the distribution of the vaccines in the poorer nations.
Yeah, and the intentions there are really, really good, and COVAX is doing it, and it's doing a really good job. But in terms of the projections of what it had hoped to achieve, it hasn't reached those objectives as of yet and those levels as of yet. And some of the reasons is because they end up in this alliance and it creates buying power so that low-income countries can compete with the high-income countries in terms of getting access to these vaccines. But you end up with situations, Eamon, where, especially for booster programs, and the higher-income countries end up competing with COVAX for the purchase of these vaccines. So then, you know, it does create this problem where governments are saying we can do both. We can roll out mass booster programs and at the same time also ensure that there's equity of access across all countries. My own view there, Eamon, is that booster programs are really important. I think they should be targeted, as we're currently doing in terms of to older people, immunocompromised, those with underlying conditions. I think that's the thing to do. But I think it's difficult to justify mass booster programs for everybody in the population at a time where low-income countries are finding it difficult to get timely access to vaccines.
Yes, and of course the British, for example, are heavily into the process of giving boosters to everybody, including very young.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The plans that countries have made and that governments are attempting to put in place to mitigate the economic consequences of this, for example, the if this gets to Britain, it will get to here. And we are really looking at something from the perspective of people's work and their jobs and their businesses, and indeed education for children and for younger adults. This is potentially really grave, coming as it does now in the middle of, at the beginning of winter, actually.
Yeah, I think it needs to be treated very seriously. I mean, I think in another 1 to 2 weeks we'll have more information in terms of, right, you know, how serious it could be. I'd probably be a little bit more optimistic than Eamon for a number of reasons. First of all, it's not like going back, you know, back to March, February of 2020 when we were seeing this virus for the first time. If you look at this, even this new variant is 99% similar to the virus that was circulating last year. So what that means is when we say it could evade immunity, when we're infected by the virus, you produce antibodies within a couple of weeks, and they will last in your bloodstream probably for about 4 or 5, 6 months. And then they begin to wane. The antibodies protect you against getting infected because those antibodies recognize that spike protein, yes, stop the virus from getting into the cells. But when they wane, you become a little bit more susceptible to getting the virus. And that's why we need to boost to cause your cells in the bone marrow to produce even more antibody. But it's really important to say that as well as the antibodies, you've got another arm of your immune system. And this arm of the immune system creates these, what we call T cells. And those T cells, if you're infected by the virus, go in and get rid of the virus. And it's that part of the immunity that stops you getting very sick. Yes. So if you're infected, and that's why even with these breakthrough infections where you become susceptible to infection, the virus gets into your cells, you may have some upper respiratory symptoms, quite mild, but you tend not to get very sick. You tend not to end up in hospital. That's how vaccines work. And that immunity is against not only the spike protein, but against 28 of the other 28 proteins in the virus. So even with this variant, we have seen this, most of this before. It could be that it evades the antibody-mediated immunity and is more efficient with respect to infecting us, but we still have that protection. I would predict we still have that protection in terms of protecting us against serious illness. The other thing I would say, Eamon, is that new developments in terms of antiviral drugs. There are two antiviral drugs that I think will be very, very useful, especially in terms of dealing with variants. They're different from vaccines. Vaccines, what we do is we give the spike protein. Your immune system recognizes that, generates antibodies against it, so that when you're exposed to the real virus, you already have this protection. But the virus can evade that. Sometimes the variants can evade that. Antivirals are different. These are drug molecules that directly target the virus. And there's two ones that are showing a lot of promise. One has been approved already in the UK, for a drug from Merck. And then there's another one from Pfizer, which looks like really, really effective. So in studies and trials, it has been shown to protect against up to 90% protection from hospitalization in cases that show symptoms. So if you can take this within 3 to 5 days of symptom onset, it protects up to 90% from hospitalizations. These drugs should still work on all of these variants. And they have been shown to work on the various variants that have been characterized so far. So I would be more hopeful, Eamon. Yes, we need to be careful. We need to be vigilant. These variants can bypass some of the immunity. I would say it's really important to say not all of the immunity. It does make it, and it's for this reason, Eamon, it's very difficult to eradicate these viruses because they keep changing,
yes.
They keep transmitting. But importantly, the memory component of our immune system allows us to remember these viruses. And even if though they've changed a little bit, our immune system still remembers them so that even if we're infected, we can get rid of the virus before it gets a chance to do real damage. Now, there will be some cases, obviously, that will end up in hospitalization and a serious illness. But again, there are the cases where we need the boosters. And we can identify those people who tend to be at higher risk. And it's mostly those risk factors that are associated with older age, certain underlying conditions. And I think that's where we should be targeting the boosters.
Okay, Professor Minor, we're very grateful to you for joining us. That's Professor Paul Minor from Maynooth University. And we're very grateful to him, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.